Welcome, football fans, to another edition of IDP Plus Injury Pod. I am your host, the D-Gen Doc, aka Sebastian Fearon here. How are y'all doing? If this is your first episode, welcome. Cheers. So who am I? I am, just told you, D-Gen Doc, Sebastian Fearon, physical therapist for the Army here. Flash the credentials on the board. Physical therapy, injury, strength and conditioning, that's kind of my game. I went into a little bit more about my credentials on the first intro episode. So if you're interested in any of that, go ahead and check that out. And I'll give you the kind of full rundown, all the nerd stuff, you know, not anything too crazy, but I promise I would only do it once because most of you guys don't give a damn and I don't blame you. But that's why I feel like I am somewhat qualified to talk about injuries, especially when it comes to football. I've been studying my whole life. So that's exactly what we're going to do here, folks. We are going to talk injuries and don't blink. But the NFL, the National Football League, is just around the corner. The NFL draft is now done. We started this pre-draft, this whole series, and now we're already getting close to OTAs, and then we can start talking about training camp, and we're getting close, right? You got about, you know, the last month, couple months there where it's May vacation, and we start getting into it with, preseason and then college football rolling up. So really is kind of chomping at the bit here to get after this. So what are we doing here? This is an NFL offseason injury update. So there's a number of injuries, a lot of injuries, big time injuries that are going to impact the 2024 NFL season. Definitely way too many to just go through one by one. So the best way I found to do this is just go division by division, right? So we are breaking down to this episode seven out of the eight. So this is going to be the NFC North. That is right. We have started with the AFC and then we worked our way down. The first episode was the AFC East, broke down guys like Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Phillips, Elijah Vera Tucker, Bradley Chubb, all the biggest injuries. We went AFC North, episode two, AFC North, or excuse me, one was AFC North. Episode one was AFC East, episode two, AFC North, episode three, AFC South, episode four, AFC West. Then we got into the NFC. NFC South was episode five. Last week was the NFC West. And this week, finally, episode seven, the NFC North. Why did I pick that order? No real idea, but I wanted to save the best for last, and that is the NFC East, as I am a New York Football Giant fan, and because we're in it. It's the best division. So also, if I have to talk about a bunch of Cowboys, Eagles, and Redskins, Commanders, whatever the hell they call themselves, yeah, I'm going to save that for last. We'll make that a special episode. But here's your NFC North edition. So again, way this is going to work, we're going to talk about guys. Typically how I'll do it is I'll break down the injury first. We'll talk about the injury. We'll talk expected recovery timelines, re-injury rates, you know, and analyze the injury a little bit. And then we'll go specific into that player situation. Sometimes, depending on the injuries, there's a decent amount of overlap. And this is one that's like more of a one for one. So it's going to be pretty much one injury to one person, one guy, just because there's so much variability, which is cool because it, you know, not a lot of repetitive things. It gets to keep it fresh and things like that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so we are going to start off this NFC North here, talking about a very, very, I don't want to say common, but a very, when we talk about big injuries, the ACL tear, the dreaded anterior cruciate ligament tear, is one that definitely comes up a lot. And so one we're starting off with. This actually is, so you got your ACL here in the front of that knee. That is a major stabilizing ligament in the knee. It prevents your tibia, which is the bottom bigger bone there, from translating forward on the femur. So when it's torn, obviously it's more dynamic movements. So when you're standing still, not a huge deal, but as you're trying to move, cut, things like that, you're going to have that instability and fall. This injury actually is not just the ACL. It's also the MCL that is also injured. There's that unhappy triad. We get the ACL, MCL, and medial meniscus can be injured together. But really, especially when we talk about, you know, essentially traumatic injuries in sports, you know, this was caused by a helmet to a knee. you can really get a decent amount of combination. But the reason I bring this up is that ACL tears on their own are already like typically a 9 to 12 month recovery timeline. I would say probably closer to 10, 11 months is what I would like to see on average. Definitely not before 9. But as you start to add complexity and add more structures being injured, as in this case, you essentially just add recovery time, right? So now we're talking about a multi-ligament injury. I'd say this is probably closer to 11 to 12 months as opposed to closer to that 9 to 10 month mark there. And who are we talking about? We are talking about Minnesota Vikings tight end TJ Hockenson, who unfortunately got his legs taken out. I mean, it's one of those injuries where are they calling it dirty? Are they calling it not? And it's an interesting because it's a very similar hit that the Lions had on Tyler Higbee in the playoffs that caused his ACL tear. So it's definitely a point of contention. You know, either people calling it a dirty hit, dirty play, but it's kind of tough because, you know, they're such big individuals and you're told that you can't go high. So you got to go low. Like there's really just the NFL through what they call player safety is really narrowing the target zone to out where the knees and lower is more acceptable than trying to get up high and potentially going for the chest and getting a little bit up top and hitting the face mask or hitting the helmet at all. So it's really kind of led to a little bit more of these guys going for the knees. So definitely unfortunate here for Hockenson. His injury was also late in the year, 24th of December of 2023. So he's only looking about 8.5 months of recovery timeline until the start of the season. Again, I said this is closer to a 10, 11, 12 months. I'd probably like him to get at least 11 months here before. And when I talk about recovery time, I'm more talking about return to play, right? When is the guy going to be ready to step on the field and start producing, start doing some things, right? Start getting some actual meaningful snaps. And I think that's closer to the 11, 12 month mark here for Hockenson, which unfortunately for him is not going to come until earliest halfway through the season, probably even a little bit later. So obviously, my outlook on Hockenson is not going to be too great, right? He's obviously a huge volume guy. Now, that was with Kirk Cousins. Now they've got Mr. J.J. McCarthy, Mr. handed off 30 times and somehow still be a top first-round pick, top 15 pick. But, hey, I think that it's interesting. You talk about rookie quarterbacks wanting to have that safety blanket at tight end. I just don't think that's going to be something where TJ Hockenson can be that guy early in the season. I don't think he's going to be ready to be back in time. So, you know, unfortunately for Hockenson, my outlook on him, definitely the first half of the season is virtually none. I don't even know if he's going to play. And the entire season, like, it's not like the guys come back and just explode right away, right? It takes some time. When you haven't played football for, you know, almost a year and getting back into it, it takes time, right? You really can't recreate those live reps when someone's trying to take your head off. So, with ACLs, you usually see a dip in performance from that first year post-injury anyway, especially in our running backs and wide receivers, our skill guys here. So, you know, I'm not expecting huge things for Hockenson. I think it's a win if he's able to play like 4 to 6 weeks of the year and like, you know, get some of that rust off going into the next season. If they somehow make a playoff run, potentially could he play a role? Sure. Yeah. But, you know, besides that, I do not see him contributing meaningful snaps kind of during their season. And really, when we start talking about fantasy, you know, I can't imagine him like this is not someone I'm drafting. You know, I don't even think it's worth stashing him on there. We'll see. We'll see how the progress is. This stuff can be fluid at times. But as of right now, negative outlook there for Hockenson. All right, moving along. We are obviously staying in the division. We're going to talk about a quad tendon. We're staying in the same area, same knee, knee region, right? So you got your quad tendon, your quadriceps tendon. It connects your quadriceps to your tibia with the patella kind of acting as a pulley system there over top and kind of. So technically above the patella is called the quad tendon. Below the patella is called the patellar tendon. They're kind of the same tendon, but, you know. For this case, we are talking about above the patella there, what connects the quad to that kind of patella-ish region, really to that ischial tuberosity down at the tibia. But yeah, so similar to the ACL, where it's a full tear. It does require surgery. Unfortunately, not something that, you know, conservative rehab, physical therapy is going to be able to do. If I was able to just put you back like Humpty Dumpty with some exercises and rehab and stuff, that'd be awesome. I would also probably be not doing this podcast because I'd be, you know, in bathing in the money. But, you know, so this takes an operation. It is not as serious of an operation as, you know, your ACL or Achilles. Recovery timeline is about 6 to 8 months as opposed to that 9 to 10, 12, 10 to 12 months there. But still pretty significant. Obviously does require surgery and season ending. And so the guy that suffered this is a new addition to the NFC South, and that is Mr. DJ Reader, newly acquired defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions. He injured himself on the 18th of December in 2023. So he's got about 8.5 months of recovery time to the start of the season. So I said expect recovery time 6 to 8 months. You know, he's at that top end where you want somebody to be. So there is some optimism going into the season. DJ Reader's a beast too, man. I don't know how the Bengals let him go. I don't know if it was the injury scare or just getting up in age or what it was, but he is a really, really effective run stopper. I think that's a great pickup for them. And it looks like, you know, based on recovery timelines, was reading, there's pretty optimism that he could be ready for the start of the season. So as of right now, obviously, we'll kind of see how training camp goes and things like that, how he's kind of responding. But as of right now, yeah, there's a very real shot that DJ Reader could step in for this team and, you know, grab a starting spot. And that's really what he should be slated for, is this, to be a starter and have meaningful reps at the start of the season. Now, it might be a little slow start first couple weeks. So if you want to, you know, keep him on the bench or see how he goes that first week, totally for that. But this is not someone I'm avoiding, as in Hockenson, because he's got a very good shot to play the majority of year, if not start week one. So pretty optimistic, actually, for the big boy DJ Reader. All right, moving on to the next guy. He technically is no longer, well, he may or may not be part of the NFC North as a free agent, but we're talking about an ankle fracture here. So an ankle fracture, when we talk about a fracture, it's just a break, right? A break in the bone. Sometimes if there's information can be somewhat limited at times, depending on the player and the team and what's released. So we just really have ankle fracture, which is just like a break in a bone anywhere to your ankle. That doesn't even really tell us what bone it is, because your ankle kind of is made up of several bones. You know, is it the fibula, the small outside bone? Is it the tibia, the larger bone? Is it your talus, which is kind of at the like top part of your ankle? Is it your calcaneus, you know, that heel part? Really, it just tells us here there was a fracture in one or more areas of the ankle. Now, unless there's super complication, which we would have heard by now, it's typically just a 3 to 4 month recovery time. But fractures, really the biggest thing is time and not doing anything stupid. You know, that can be hard, depending on your population. I know, soldiers sometimes don't like to be told to use crutches and not walk on things, but hey, that's just a part of life. Hopefully, professional athletes listen a little bit better, but yeah, they ankle fracture really is 3 to 4 month recovery timeline. As long as there's not like a complication of, you know, there's an additional ligament tear, or, you know, arterial disruption or anything like that, or kind of a nerve issue, fractures are actually not as bad as they sound. Now, they're not something you can rush really in any way, because you don't want to come back too soon and risk re-injury and then another fracture, right? And compromising that bone completely. But as far as, you know, if they happen in the off season, they're really not a huge deal, because it's just like take that time to heal and then slowly reintroduce stress, reintroduce load, be able to walk, run, start doing your, you know, weighted exercises and things like that to start building that bone up stronger. So all that to say, this is for Mr. Yannick Ngakoue, the pass rusher there that was on the Bears last season. He's currently a free agent, has not signed anywhere. So I stuck him here because where else was I going to put him? But yeah, he injured himself in December 14th of last year. He's got about 9 months until the start of the season to heal. Again, 3 to 4 month injury. Do not expect, you know, unless some type of weird complication, which we would probably hear about, happens, I would expect Yannick Ngakoue to be healthy for the start of the 2024 season and, you know, ready to be a disruptive force for whoever does grab him. Didn't really work out with the Bears there. Bontez Sweat came and produced at a much higher clip, but still a capable pass rusher that should not have too much major injury concerns going into this 2024 season. All right, folks, we talked about our first three. So let's get a little break in the action, right? Every good show, every good sports needs a little halftime. And our halftime today is sponsored by IDP Plus, of course. So there's a couple things I just want to tell you about. As always, here at IDP Plus, you know, we try to give you the knowledge of all the football content, you know, trying to help you win your IDP leagues, your fantasy leagues, this, that, the sports books over at IDP Bets, trying to just help you enjoy football a little bit more and then potentially, you know, cash off it. We also love to give back to you as our fans here, giving us a listen. We appreciate you. So we try to get you these deals here. We'll talk about the first one, and this is about the IDP leagues for the draft night out. So yeah, Fantasy Football Expo is right around the corner. They're in beautiful Canton, Ohio, right in August with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You didn't need another reason to come, but I'm going to give you one anyway. So Saturday, August the 10th at Brew Kettle next to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we're going to have a drafting extravaganza. And for the first time ever, IDP Plus is hosting an IDP League. So be a part of history. Check it out. It's going to be description in the show. In the show description, we'll have a link so you can get signed up and all that good stuff. But, you know, definitely something I'm excited for. It'll be my first Fantasy Football Expo, hopefully, you know, if everything goes well and I'm able to make it out there. But that is the plan. So I'm very excited. So definitely come on out. And yeah, absolutely. If you're listening to this, you're probably a football fanatic like the rest of us. So jump in on this IDP League. It's a great way to meet some people and really just have a good time. Talk football, right? Next up, Trophy Smack. That is right. Our friends over at Trophy Smack always hooking you guys up. Listen, it's draft season, folks. You got to get ahead of the game, and you need to have one of Trophy Smack's gorgeous draft boards complete with player stickers so deep you couldn't possibly need them all. And for the first time, they've got an IDP expansion pack. For all the defensive nerds out there like us, everyone who enjoys football on really both sides of the ball, special teams, you know, if it's football, I'm watching it, right? So this is, I'm pretty sure, one of the only companies that has this IDP expansion pack. So it does not just have to be the offensive guys, the cool, sexy offense that gets to enjoy the fun with the draft boards and stuff like that. Trophy Smack's got us covered here on the IDP side. Again, the link will be in the show notes. And the very last thing I want to tell you about really quickly is, hey, summer's coming, right? It's summer vacation time for you, your family, your children, your spouse, your mother, maybe. Hey, happy Mother's Day to anyone, any moms potentially out there listening to this right now, recording it in the wee hours of Mother's Day. But yeah, maybe you're planning a vacation for mom. Maybe you're planning a vacation for the wife, for the kids, whatever it may be. We're thrilled to tell you about our partnership with Expedia, the one-stop shop for all your travel needs. They've got great deals. We're wrapping up some Mother's Day deals. There's going to be some summer deals coming up. So we have, as an affiliate sponsor, basically the way that works is we have like a special link that you can use and you get special discounts because as a fan of us, we're a fan of you. So we're going to help you give back. Listen, everyone loves going on vacation. No one loves planning for it. I know I don't love to have the million tabs open trying to find the best deals here and there. Expedia is your one-stop shop for it. So go ahead and get to it, folks. All right. And we're back. And we're back. And we're back. And we're talking injuries. All right. Next guy up. Hamstring injuries. So the gnarly burnt my eye, one of the most burdensome injuries in the NFL, especially during the season. If your guy gets a hamstring injury, good luck. Just do as I do and cheers and bottoms up a little bit, man, because they are a nasty, nasty bunch. Not only just, you know, doing the fantasy world in real life too, rehabbing these suckers, they can be a little tricky, right? And a lot of the reason why that happens is because you will feel, and I've felt this with my own hamstrings. I've obviously treated a lot. You will feel as if your hamstrings are healed before they're actually healed, right? Before they actually gone through the full healing process. So, and it's one of those things where, you know, you can do a decent amount of things, but it's when you start to try to go sprint and when you try to go from 50% per 80%, or you're just trying to turn that gear and you're like, you know what, I feel pretty good. Like, let me give it a try. Like these professional athletes are used to doing, operating at such a high level and trying to get them to hold back when they feel like they're capable of doing something. That is where the danger happens. And that is exactly what happened with our next guy, Mr. Eric Stokes. So, getting back to this hamstring injury, hamstring strain, right? That just talks about an injury to your hamstring muscle. It could be at different sites. It could be at the kind of your tendons. It could be at the middle of your things. And really what it is there are different grades to it too. Grade one is a pretty minor thing, usually a couple weeks. Grade two is kind of closer to a month. 6 to 8 weeks. And then grade three is when you can kind of get to that 3 to 4 months when it gets a little bit scary. And if you have a full tear, technically, that's a much bigger deal. With Mr. Eric Stokes, Green Bay Packers cornerback, a young cornerback who's unfortunately had his share of injury issues. He's only played in 12 games in the last 2 years after starting 16 games in his first year as a rookie. Playing in 16 games, I should say. He dealt with injuries really all season last year. So he kind of injured his hamstring going into the season. Then he missed some games, then he got back, and then he re-injured his hamstring in December and was ultimately shut down for the rest of the season. So, you know, we saw this with Cooper Kupp a couple years ago. You really can see this a lot, right? If your hand, I mean, it's Greg Dulcich's entire career. Anyone who is trying to yell at you for fantasy, just tell them that, hey, it looks like, you know, Greg Dulcich's hamstrings are just not ready for the NFL. But anyway, very, very high re-injury rates if you try to push it and come back too soon. And again, it's a little bit hard to figure out when too soon is because you're going to feel better before you're actually physiologically healed. But then you do have to test it to be able to, you know, you can't just be like, oh, I'm ready to go and just be like, you know, wait, do nothing and then just get back to playing football. It's not how that works. You do have to progressively grade it. So, you know, really got to be careful and very intentional in that rehab process. And, you know, it's a little bit difficult when you're dealing with professional athletes that this is their lives, this is their lives, this is their legacy. They're trying to get back as soon as possible. So I definitely feel for rehab teams as they go and try to mitigate this injury. Cause this one is, it's just a really annoying one, but hey, that's part of the game. So moral of the story here, Eric Stokes, don't love, you know, 12 games in three into the past two seasons. Don't love how it was an injury and then a re-injury. And then that's what ultimately ended it. And, you know, never showed the ability to really come back from it. However, these injuries are typically not more than 3 to 4 months in the worst case, as far as, you know, of being able to rest and rehab. And he's got the time. The offseason is the perfect time to kind of figure that out. There is a little bit of a re-injury risk, but now he's got 8.5 months since he last played to kind of until week one. So he should be good to go. Definitely a little bit of a concern having the multiple hamstring injuries and not being able to hold up. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a scotch-free that I feel extremely awesome about Stokes for next season, but he should be healthy and good to go. And Green Bay, you know, I know they just declined his fifth year option. Obviously he's a good player for them, but it's availability, right? Best ability is availability. So, I think Stokes is going to have some things to prove. I think he's capable of doing it. I have a little bit of caution, but it's kind of, I'm a little bit more cautiously optimistic, regarding the injury. There's not, you know, he's got plenty of time to recover. There's not a huge re-injury risk going into next season or, you know, dip in performance as long as he's able to get that under control. So, assuming there's nothing too crazy going on there, which has not been reported, pretty optimistic on Stokes for next season. But again, there is that pause because this is now two seasons in a row that have really been derailed by injuries. All right, next up. Someone that I'm not going to be very concerned about at all, actually, is going to be pretty, how do I put this? If you have him in fantasy or in dynasty or anything like that, this should be pretty reassuring affirmation of what you're probably already thinking. Forearm fracture here. And I talked about a fracture before. Not that they're all the same, but they're all very similar. Just refer to a break in the bone, right? So this is in your forearm here. Obviously, just using pictures because it does. I don't get the x-ray reports. There was not anything told exactly where this was. But somewhere in the forearm, radius ulna, one of those bones, there's a fracture with this player. And that player is Cole Kmet, the Chicago Bears tight end. This actually happened in the last game of the season for them against Green Bay. He didn't even realize it until after the game. He played through the injury, which is just another goes to show you how some of these guys are wired. And he just like, whether it's adrenaline or just, you know, being beast. Being able to play through a fracture. I mean, I'm not going to say it's nothing I've not heard in the past, but still, you know, it's definitely not merely a common thing. But yeah, Cole Kmet fractured his forearm. There was no surgery. He reportedly no surgery, just kind of let time heal again. Time is really the biggest thing with fractures. And then progressively loading and stressing those bones back to health. Yeah, so not a lot of concerns. It's about a 2 to 3 month recovery timeline. He's got 8 months until the start of the season. So even though he injured himself on the season finale, it's really not going to be too detrimental for Cole Kmet. Fully expect him to be ready for go for training camp, OTAs. He's probably already healed now at this point, honestly, being, what are we, almost 6 months away removed from the injury. So, yeah, not a lot of concerns there for Kmet. Moving forward with another guy that – fairly optimistic with. So we've got the MCL tear. So in a similar aspect, we talked about ACL tear. Your MCL is your medial collateral ligament, is one of the stabilizing ligaments in your knee, you know, one of the big four there. It kind of works more that side to side ability, prevents kind of your knee from falling in and collapsing. Again, it's a dynamic stability piece. So you know, there's different grades, just like with the strain in the muscle, with the ligaments is the same way. Grade one is a small tear. Grade two is kind of like your bigger little partial tears. And grade three is a complete tear, you know, straight through. Now, luckily, the MCL, if you're going to injure a ligament on your knee, pick your MCL if you can, because it does have the best healing potential due to vascularity, blood flow in the area. You know, typically this is actually not a terrible injury to get. If you're going to get one, MCL injuries usually aren't that bad. If it's minor, you know, they may not even miss a game or maybe one. If it's moderate, maybe miss, you know, two to three games. But, you know, in this case, grade three, full tear, probably out about a month to 2 months. And that is around what happened with Minnesota Vikings cornerback Byron Murphy. He injured himself late in the season, wasn't able to get back. You know, because they did call him week to week, but again, it's could take that 4 to 8 week mark, 4 to 6 week mark. So, the grade three with the full tear that takes a little bit longer than the minor cases. So that's kind of what happened. Byron Murphy injured himself in December, you know, mid December, and the Vikings were not a playoff team last year, so kind of shut him down, for the last couple weeks of the season there with Byron Murphy Jr. But regarding next season, again, 1 to 2 month expected recovery timeline. He's got 8.5 months. This is not too bad of an injury. Again, with that healing potential, unlike a lot of the ligaments and structures in there, it's actually pretty optimistic, right? So I think Byron Murphy comes back and has a great year for that Vikings team that's going to need him. They've got some really good wide receivers in that division. All right, folks, we are on our last injury. And this is maybe a little vague one because we didn't get all the information. So we just know that this player had an off-season hip surgery on an injury that they played through throughout the season. So it is Kirby Joseph, Detroit Lions, you know, fan favorite safety for the Detroit Lions there. You know, with that fan base, there's a lot of fan favorites. I really love, really, really cool to see Detroit be good again. I guess if we call Stafford and Megatron, what I guess they were fairly decent then, but really throughout my entire lifetime, they have not been kind of been, you know, joke, laughing stock for a while. So it's been cool to see that city come to life because they are really still, you know, hardcore fans in Detroit there. So it's not like I'm a Detroit Lions fan in any way, but it is cool to see them and their fan base kind of come together. But talking about Joseph here, he had this injury, picked it up in week two, originally missed like two games, and then he came back and played the rest of the season with it injured. So he kind of just played through the injury throughout the year. Tells me it's probably, you know, it's nothing too serious, but something worth fixing that he had a surgery, right? So kind of the speculation is that he had some type of like an arthroscopy procedure where they go in and they kind of, you know, it's less invasive. They use a tool and they either, there's a couple things they could do. They could, you know, help to repair or trim down or fix the labrum, which kind of is a protective layer over your acetabulum, over your femur and your kind of the ball, I shall say, the hip joint. It kind of protects the hip joint, lubricates it, allows for easier to react to stress and kind of those ground forces there. You know, they could have trimmed the bone if there's any type of impingement going on. So there's kind of a slew of things that you can go in there and kind of fix as long as it's nothing too crazy. But this procedure does take to get back to playing football, you know, close to 5, 6, 7 months. Now he did injure, he got this done in the off season, and I didn't see exactly a date, but assuming he got it done in February, he's got like about 7 months to the start of the season. So he should be good to go, but we'll see. He has himself has said he's not going to return really in any way until training camp, which is very smart. You know, near the end of July, start of August. So then we'll be able to get a really better idea of what Kirby Joseph is going to look like. But at this point, he does have a good chance to be ready for the start of the season. You know, barring any complications, any setbacks, things like that, from what we know, that is should be the expectation, is that Joseph should be ready to go for week one. Now, again, training camp should give us a really, really good update to figure out, you know, was he telling the truth? Is this actually going to be the real expectation? All right, folks, we did it. We did it. We did it. We did it. We just broke down the biggest injuries in the NFC South. These are the injuries that are going to shape the NFC South next year. This is actually the division with the least amount, only 7. But again, I try to only focus on big injuries and guys who are significant to the team. Nobody wants to hear me talk about, you know, a bunch of backups that may or may not get any time anyway. So, 7 guys where we got pretty different, you know, some guys like Hockenson, I'm not as optimistic really at all for the 2024 season. And you got other guys, you know, DJ Reader, Cole Kmet, you know, Byron Murphy, guys that really should be good to go and have a positive outlook for the 2024 NFL season. But looks like, looks like the whiskey is just about out. So that means it is time for me to go. But if you have any questions about guys, now, again, this is the 7th out of the 8th division. It's just the NFC East, the best division in my very, very biased opinion. just the NFC East is going to be left. I'm going to do that next week. We've now done 7 of the 8 divisions talking through the major injuries. So if you got any questions about someone I've talked about already or someone completely new, please let me know. Just let me know in the comments. I will get back to you and we will figure this out. But hey, folks, I appreciate you listening. I hope you learned something today. I hope you were able to take something away, get a little nugget out that can help you in fantasy for the sports books, whatever it may be, or just to be a better football fan. Because I know I love talking ball, so I hope you appreciate it as well. If you do, feel free to give me a like, comment, subscribe, IDP Plus. We're doing a lot of cool things here. You know, we got the IDP Plus bets, where, you know, I've launched a sports betting 101 series that if you're interested and new to sports betting, kind of walk you through the basics, because the odds are stacked against you no matter what celebrity tries to sell you on a sports book trying to make money off of you. I promise it's not that simple. And then doing a UFL pod right now, talking about the United Football League there. That's the kind of, my opinion, the precursor, kind of a little bit of a jump start to the NFL season. So we don't have this huge gap. We just finished week 7, had some nice little caches in there. But just really a cool league. So definitely, let's be honest, if you're listening to this, if you're itching for football like that, if you're not aware, you should check out the UFL. Give it a shot. All right, folks. Other than that, I appreciate you. We all at IDP Plus appreciate you. Like, comment, subscribe. And for now, Doc is out of here.